Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast is provided by Subchuck Law. Revolution Recap thanks Subchuck Law for their support of our show, local independent media, and their mission of bringing unbiased truth. Revolution Recap would also like to thank Six Point Builders for their support. Six Point Builders are builders of fine custom homes in the Boston metropolitan area.
Welcome to another episode of Revolution Recap, part of the Believe Network. We're coming to you after the New England Revolution routed LDA 4-0 in the first leg in the round of 16 in the CONCACAF Champions Cup on a wet and rainy Wednesday night down in Foxborough. So certainly the Revs have gotten themselves off to a good start in the first leg, put themselves in a great position for the second leg, going into that with a very comfortable 4-goal lead. I'm Thomas Manzone. Tonight I'm joined by Andy Judd. Andy, how are you doing after this incredible first leg performance at Gillette tonight?
You know, it's always good to come on this show after a win, and especially after a commanding win like this. So, you know, I've been on after losses and draws, and you know, I gotta say, I prefer the wins. So, doing pretty well. How are you?
Good. Yeah. I mean, that's about as good as it gets. You know, they rotated. They've got to go on a very, very long trip now, to go down to Costa Rica and play next week. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think you can get a better result than that. They even managed not to slip up at the end and give up a away goal. You know, the way goals work, you know, they almost kind of count as two, so 4-1, you know, really is pretty much a 4-2, and we all know that we previously had a 3-0 lead at the end of the first leg, and then, managed not to advance in the second. So hopefully we do not see a repeat of that. But if you were so inclined to put a bet on that repeating itself, Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And, of course, BetOnline is our sponsor. And, again, if you put some money for the Revs to pile on the goals tonight, you probably made out pretty well. If you put your money on the Revs to lose, you know, thank you for thank you for doing that to kind of put a reverse jinx on things and get the 4-0 win that they will certainly be happy to take. So With that, let's get right into our key takeaways brought to you by our friends at the Rebellion Supporters Group. Be sure to check them out on Twitter at NE Rebellion and their website, nerebellion.org. So, Andy, what is your key takeaway from tonight's game?
So I think mine, it has to be related to Tomáš Hanžkalai, who's now got four goals across three games in CONCACAF Champions Cup. Hasn't materialized in MLS play yet, two opportunities there. But we spent a lot of time this offseason like talking about how full the roster was and how there was very little roster flexibility, and that led to what seemed like kind of a quiet offseason. And I think it bears repeating that like the big move of the offseason was getting Hanžkalai on a permanent deal. He was on loan last year. He showed his skill. I think that was a smart move last year, by the way, to get him in on loan when you already had three designated players, right? So you could get him in, you could test him out. Clearly, he showed enough last year. I think we all saw it. And so being able to go and get him full time, it seems like it's working out for the Revs. He was, he was everywhere that he needed to be tonight. And I think, I can't see any reason to think that he's not going to continue, building in confidence, if not just through CONCACAF Champions Cup, where, maybe the competition's a little bit less, or has been like a little bit step lower. I don't want to talk too ill of Alajuelense, who I think is actually a fairly good team. The 4-0 result doesn't exactly lend any credence to that. But I think Tomáš Hanžkalai coming in the offseason on a permanent deal was a good bit of business. And I think there's other pieces or other moves that happened in this offseason as well. Didn't seem like all that much, but they featured in this game too. So the big one, Tomáš Hanžkalai for sure. And I think that bears repeating that was a smart move then, and it's borne fruit now.
Yeah, I mean, the other two moves too, Mensa and Lima, I mean, they, I think maybe at the time it was okay, these guys are just coming in for cover and depth. But, that depth has been needed. They advanced through the first round, so that means they've got to, I didn't realize how quickly they were going to have to turn around and play these two games. And if they're able to advance next week, they've got to turn around in short order and play two more. So, this tournament really kind of comes thick and fast, and the whole thing is said and done by June 2nd. So Mensa, Mensa stepped in tonight. He did really well. Nick Lima, I've seen Lima play three times previous tonight. I hadn't really been impressed. I thought he hadn't done too much. Looked a little bit off the pace. His touch, his pat. I don't know. He didn't really look like a solid contributor. But obviously stepped up in a big, big way tonight. You get the party started with the first goal. And I think when you see your left back putting it across to your right back who slots it home, that in itself is great to see. But I think it was encouraging to see Lima have himself a good game. And Mensa has been fine. I think maybe to a certain extent he's come into games where they haven't had that much to do defensively. But at the same time, he's dealt with what he's had to dealt with really, really well. My key takeaway is Carlos Hill got the night off and the Revs got the job done. Carlos is of course always with us even when he's not on the field. He's joined with us tonight. He's on the back of my season ticket holder commemorative plastic cup. But it's nice to be able to give him the night off and they come out and get a win. One thing that they've really struggled with the last several years is Carlos has to take the night off or he's injured, and they just look like they have no idea what they're doing. Like everything is just Carlos is going to do everything for us, and then he's not there, and they're all just looking around each other. What are we supposed to do now? I think a lot of credit of that has to go to Caleb Porter. I think with Bruce, the plan was, well, just get it to Carlos and he'll figure it out. But Porter seems to have added a couple more layers onto that. And, of course, having Esmir step up and play as well as he has, is a big part of that as well.
Yeah, and I think I agree with all of those points. Having Esmir kind of developing now in this year to be something more of a starting caliber player not necessarily in the mold of a Carlos Hill, but, has enough of the same skill set that you could reasonably expect some similar things, dribbles, passes, things like that, that Carlos does so well. And I furthermore, I agree that, it has felt in the last couple of years like the tactics were just get it to Carlos Hill. He sees the game, he reads the game, and he's just going to quarterback it from there. And so without Carlos Hill on the field, right, that becomes a very difficult game plan, right, because there's no Carlos to pass to. So it's good to see the Reds, play the way they did tonight, especially with no Carlos. I think they got their goals in, a variety of ways, right? We saw big switches. We saw some crossing. There was the penalty, of course. They were quick in transition. They moved the ball side to side. So, all that stuff is, not maybe truly new to this year, but it's something we didn't see quite as much of last year under Bruce and in previous years. So that seems to have worked out for them in the game tonight. And it's certainly a good extra wrinkle to have on top of arguably one of the best tents in the league.
Yeah, he's also, he's not going to be here forever. He's not getting any younger. They've got to find another way. And like you said, look, I mean, is this team, which I'm just going to call LDA because I'm not going to even attempt to butcher their name 15 times tonight. they're certainly a lot stronger than Independiente. That's for sure. They come from a stronger league. The Costa Rican league is ranked, at least according to CONCACAF anyway, quite a bit higher than the Panamanian top division. So it's definitely a step up in opponent. And I think the Reds benefited. I think they benefited from the way this whole schedule worked out, right? The second leg of the last round was at home. Then they had an NMLS home game. And then the first leg of this round is at home. So they haven't had to travel, in over a week now, right? So I think that three home games in a row, look, they didn't get the result against Toronto. But I think that's actually kind of how you'd want to draw it up, right? Like if you get those three games in a row and, okay, you deal with Costa Rica trip next week.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It was kind of a wet, rainy, chilly kind of night tonight too. So, I don't know how much that played to the Reds' advantage, having home field advantage in this one as well. But yeah, if you're going to have, three games in, what are we at, 8 days or 7 days even, you'd love to have them all be at home. So that certainly played well for the Revs, and I think they probably benefited from not having to make a midweek flight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so before we get into the post-game listener questions, we did throw out, we threw the lineup up at 5 o'clock. Well, most of you are probably still on your way home from work. I just wanted to try and get some thoughts on the lineup before the game, right? One thing that, the Porter's talked about is kind of trying to separate the performance from the result. And I think sometimes our post-game thoughts can kind of be influenced pretty heavily by the result from the game. But before the game actually got started, we had, four people just kind of give some thoughts. So we're just going to go through these quickly. And then Andy, I just want to pick out maybe one key point from these four. So the first one is from Isaac Popper. I love Noel Buck, but I didn't think he contributed enough on Sunday. Obviously, that would be in reference to him not starting tonight. We, which is not to say Andy and I, just someone who calls himself we, terrible lineup. Can't expect a win tonight with this. Now, as someone who doesn't spend a lot of time on social media, I believe the classic textbook response to that is this tweet did not age well. Next one up is from Trey. Polster as captain over Hill as captain going forward. And the last one from Ryan. I like the lineup. It gives them good depth off the bench and rest Carlos for Saturday. It's nice to see some fresh faces start and see what we can do. 23 minutes in, and I feel it's going okay. So Andy, what do you, from those four snapshots before the game, what do you pick out there?
I think the obvious one is Ryan's tweet, right? It was kind of enough, or they made a few changes, right, from their lineup on Saturday. They gave some rest to key players. Carlos got the night off. Andrew Farrell started on the bench. So to be able to roll that lineup out and still have guys out there like Sean Kalai, still have Jones out there, Romney, these kind of stabilizing maybe foundational pieces that you can roll out and still manage to give rest to maybe some of your key players who've been putting in a lot of minutes. I think that's a smart play. I think we could be saying different things if this had gone the opposite direction, right? Resting your starters and then losing at home wouldn't have been good. But I think if you're, you know, if you look at it on the whole, it's a good idea to give these players some rest, because it's just a lot of games in such a short amount of time, right? There's very little turnaround time in between these games. You know, legs are tired. It's the beginning of the season, right? So they're still, you know, they're chasing the ball around a lot more because they're not quite as sharp with their passes. They might be later in the season. So I think it was a good call in retrospect, certainly. But I think even not, you know, you have to start getting rest for some of your starters.
Yeah. And look, you know, like somebody like Nick Lima, if they're only playing once a week, you know, he might have been buried already. But he gets the call again because, you know, buys out until late summer. Farrell, you know, Farrell's not going to play every game. So Lima's like, okay, you know, you're in there again. Maybe, you know, he's been a little shaky, but he gets another chance. And, you know, and look what he does. You know, he had a great performance, delivers the first goal. And Porter, you know, Porter had said, right from his first press conference, he likes to get everybody involved early on in the season, likes to give these guys a chance. And, you know, look, he's been forced into that. But that's certainly been, you know, what's happened. You know, just about everyone on the roster has been given an opportunity. You know, I'd imagine Earl Edwards thought he was going to get himself in there at some point. And, you know, Tommy McNamara is probably, you know, looking around saying, well, how much do we have to be up by for me to get in? You know, but aside from those two, you know, guys are getting opportunities to play. They're getting opportunities to kind of gel and grow together. So, you know, it's about as good as it gets for having to play this many games in a short space of time.
Yep. And I also noticed, you know, we had a couple of subs for players who had no time, right? So even when, you know, we didn't start with our full set of starters, and then we brought in, and I think it was Spalding and Bobby Wood kind of around the same time. So to be able to get them in and get them some minutes in this game, I think probably benefits them. They came in a little shaky. I think, I don't know if anyone else noticed, I think Spalding's first touch was he slips on the turf, and then he gets up and he handles the ball with his arm, and a foul goes against him. And I'm fairly certain there was like a nice little interchange with Bobby Wood right when he came in, but he then kicked the ball straight out of bounds. So, you know, just being able to give those guys a chance to come in the game where they were up by quite a bit, and, you know, get the, you know, soccer sea legs under them, as it were, in that kind of situation was also good from a lineup perspective, from a subs perspective, anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we've got a good amount of questions, and you know, some really good questions as well to kind of work our way through. So we're going to jump into our listener mailbag, which is brought to you by Subchuck Law. You can find Subchuck Law's website in our show notes. So let's see here. There's a couple here that, you know, again, you know, we're doing this live. I mean, you're not going to hear it live, but we are doing it live. But we're just going to kind of start here and go through. Let's see. First one here is from Kim. Is this team better with Carles on the bench? Andy, I'm going to give us a quick one word answer here. No. What do you think?
I will go out on a limb and also say no.
Yeah. It's great that they got a win and they scored a bunch of goals without him. But, you know, in reality, right, the qualities that he brings are qualities that very few players in this league bring to any team in any game. So, yeah, I it's encouraging, but I don't think we need to go quite all the way to the other side and say, wow, we don't need this guy anymore. We've got his brother and we've got Esmir, so we'll be fine.
Right. I think, you know, if there was a point to be made there, you know, we've seen Carles get frustrated when calls don't go his way. And I noticed early in the game, you know, Ale Wawrinka was playing fairly physical. So I guess if there was an argument to be made, it could be maybe that he would be feeling frustrated if calls weren't going his way early in the game. And maybe that sets the mindset off. But no, I think it's a weird take to assume that they would be less good without their best player. So,
yeah. No, agreed. Okay. Next one is from Sweet Lou. The away team looked really bad. How do they compare to a typical MLS team? Was this just a case of having a rough away game on an artificial surface? How hard will the away match be for us? Andy, I mean, I don't know how often you find yourself watching the Costa Rican top division. But I mean, you know, is this team a comparable team to a typical MLS team, or is this a big drop in what we face on the weekends?
You know, I don't spend a ton of time watching Costa Rican soccer, unfortunately, and that's on me. I should be spending more time doing that. But so I don't know a ton about El Alajuelense, but I do know that they're in this competition pretty frequently. I feel like I see their name come up in CONCACAF Champions Cup, formerly CONCACAF Champions League, pretty often. And I feel like in the games that I've watched of them in that setting, when they're up against MLS teams, I feel like they generally play fairly toe-to-toe. I think Sean mentioned it on a recent podcast that we have played against El Alajuelense twice in CONCACAF competition and lost to them twice. So,
yeah, the broadcast got that wrong. The broadcast said they never played them before.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I missed bits of the broadcast. I was there enough for them to remind us for the 15th time that the Revs had lost against Pumas recently, but I didn't quite catch that nugget. But yeah, I mean, El Alajuelense, from what I remember of them, they're a fairly good team. I would say if I was to ballpark it, they'd be on par with, you know, kind of a upper middle MLS club. They're a fairly standard powerhouse in Costa Rica, and Costa Rica's got, you know, a fair amount of decent soccer players that they produce there. So I think better than the last opponent, you know, perhaps, you know, the travel and the weather and all that had something to do with their performance in this game specifically.
Yeah, I mean, the Costa Rican League is, again, like I said, as far as CONCACAF is concerned, it's a decent jump up as far as their league rankings. And the team as well. So the Independiente, CONCACAF ranks them as 57th in CONCACAF. And LDA is just, about 10 spots higher in 48th. And just to give you, the Revs ranking there is 19th. So, you know, it's tough to trust the accuracy of the CONCACAF rankings. But, you know, that would suggest that this should have been a slightly tougher contest than Independiente at home in the last round. And, you know, if you look at the stats, it wasn't, they didn't completely dominate them in every single category. Some of the passes in each other's half, touches inside the penalty area, you know, the overall number of shots, like a lot of those metrics were actually pretty close. Whereas this, you know, the second leg against Independiente, I mean, none of it was close. It was a rout in every category, right? Goals, the result, any way you can measure that game, it was a rout. So, and look, the first, the first 15, 20 minutes or so, it definitely looked like, this actually would be a pretty tough team. You know, these guys are ready to go. And I think the possession was 60-40 in the first 20 minutes. And the Revs were able to swing that all the way back around after that. So, you know, they grew into the game, but you know that early goal, I think, was a really, really big spark.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was from you know, I came into the game a little bit late, but I think a lot of people maybe did, given the 6 o'clock start time on a weekday. But I think when I arrived, it seemed like the Revs were, I won't say, you know, truly on the back foot, but they were certainly conceding some possession. I saw that Valencia had a couple of good chances going the other way, or at least were making decent inroads into the penalty area. So, you know, I don't think of this team as being a pushover in any sense. So I think this was for them to, you know, get that early goal and feed off of that kind of momentum and go out and get a couple more. I think that really played well in their favor.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so next one here from Revs Fan 1776. I don't know if he's implying that he's been alive for that long, but that would certainly be impressive. Can you guys explain aggregate and what that all means? Sure. So the way these two-legged ties work is the goals between the two legs, so the game that was played tonight and the game that's played next week, the goals are added up. Whichever team has more goals at the end of the second leg advances to the next round. If they are tied on goals, if one team has more away goals than the other, they advance. So away goals is actually the tiebreaker. If they are tied on away goals and goals at the end of 90 minutes of the second leg, it then goes to extra time. So what is it? What the announcer was kind of referencing late on there is when the Revs are up 4-0, had they conceded, okay, on the score sheet, right, it's 4-1, but really that means the second leg, LDA would only need to win 3-0. That would be 4-4 on aggregate, but they would go through 1-0 on away goals. And this is something that the UEFA Champions League had for a while and actually ended up dropping. But it is still something that that exists in CONCACAF. So Andy, I think I got that all right.
No, I think that's all correct. Yep. That's all right.
And if I'm wrong, you can blame Wikipedia. Hop skip, the real hop skip. Is this team better without Carlos? Andy, do you want to change your mind from when you answered that question not more than 5 minutes ago?
You know, I've been sitting here thinking about it, and it's still a no. But maybe if the next time it gets asked, maybe I'll think about it a little harder.
All right. We'll see if it comes up again, and we'll give Andy an opportunity to flip flop and change his mind. All right. The next one is from Luca Betti. This is a quality question that pulls something from the game and looks into the future. Will Esmir be Carlos's replacement in a few years, and could he be a Revs player for a long time? That's a complicated. There's a lot to unpack there.
Andy, that's a
go ahead and unpack it for it.
Yeah, that's a tough question to kind of think about, right? Because it relies on a couple of things. I think we know that. I mean, for what we've seen of Esmir this year, what we saw of him with the U.S. men's national team, his skill set is kind of similar to what Carlos does. I think he's probably more of a focus on, from what I've seen of, you know, beating guys on the dribble and, you know, and trying to get in and break defenders that way instead of, you know, purely looking for, you know, line breaking passes. He does that from time to time, but I don't think that's his main thing. So in that way, I think there's enough similarity that you could probably slot him in the middle of the field. I know he's played mostly on the wings. So to that point, yeah, I think he positionally could fit, skill-wise could fit. And then I think the rest of the question kind of depends on, you know, how well he does, right? MLS is, it's a tough league to root for, especially for me, because I don't root for any other soccer teams. So, you know, when, you know, your players are good, usually MLS is not the end goal for a lot of players. A lot of players want to, you know, prove their worth and then maybe make a move to Europe, to a, you know, a team abroad. So I think that's something that could be on the table for Esmir. I don't know too much about what his aspirations are, but I do know that if he continues playing well, you know, there will be some rumors swirling about him and a potential move. So in terms of can he replace Carlos Heel on the field, I think sure, positionally and skill wise, and if he's good enough to take that starting spot, then you know, he might be a player that we have a difficult time holding up to.
Yeah, I think 100%. I mean that's kind of the double edged sword of this ability to bring through young players. Yes, they can come through, they can show a lot of skill. You can look at them and say, you know, the potential here is through the roof. But you know, they have access to, you know, MLS season pass in Europe as well, and so there's certainly going to be other clubs that are looking at that as well. So yeah, could he develop to the level of a Carlos Heel? I think he could. That could happen over the next year or two as Carlos moves into the, you know, into the decline phase of his career. You know, we don't know how slow that decline is going to be, but we all decline as life goes on. The flip side of that is, yeah, he's not doing this in a bubble. People are going to notice this. And, you know, he also, his ability to get a passport, to get a Bosnian passport.
Right.
I don't know if that means he'd be able to get a European Union passport, but that unlocks the ability to go anywhere in Europe, right? There's been occasionally, you know, U.S. born players that try to go to Europe that they can't get the work visa because their status isn't of a high enough level to get that. If you get a European Union passport, that all goes away. You can go over there and you can play for whoever is willing to sign you. A player with DC United who I quite like and still follow, Kevin Paredes, same thing.
I saw him play one of his early games in DC United a couple of years ago, and, you know, just was like, this guy's on a whole other level. You know, he's 17, 18 years old, just showing people up left, right, and center. And he made a very, very quick move over to Europe. So I think that's always the risk, right? And you'd want Esmer to make that move if he gets the opportunity, right? That's the other kind of tricky part about the whole thing.
Right. Right. And honestly, the younger they break out, the younger they are when they, you know, start to experience some success in MLS, the more interest there is, right? So, you know, Esmer, I think is he 17 or is he 18? I can't remember off the top of my head, but
today's his birthday.
Oh, well.
Birthday boy.
There you go. Happy birthday, Esmer. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was your birthday. But yeah, I mean, so the younger you are and the more success you have when you're young, the more eyes will be on you from a scouting perspective externally. So, he's doing well. I think, you know, we saw this with Dewan. Dewan's had rumors kind of floating around him for a while. But he joined the Revs, you know, at a later point than Esmer has, right? Esmer's getting starting minutes now at 18, 19, 17. Whatever age his birthday makes him. I think Dewan came in after college, so even just a couple of years later, you know.
That's a big difference.
It makes it tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a big difference there, right? Like 22, 23, you know, you're pretty much going straight into your prime, whereas 18, he's still 3 or 4 years away from that. Yeah, I think I know there's been a lot of talk about Jones. I think he's going to end up being here for quite a long time, right? You signed an extension recently, you know, and 26, I don't know that 26 is when you want to make that jump for the first time. But yeah, at 18, I mean, yeah, the sky is the limit as to where he can go from here. And that might mean it's not with the New England Revolution. Yeah, right. It's tough. Let's see. What do we got next? Blue Jay 6.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming CONCACAF Champions Cup schedule. Andy, I have that ready to go if you don't.
I also have it ready to go. So they play again, I think, next week, right? The second leg of this tie is next week, I think on Wednesday. If they make it through that, they will schedule, I believe, the specific dates of the games based upon who makes it through it and availability of stadium and whatnot. But the quarterfinal round, the first leg is scheduled for the 2nd through the 4th of April, with the second leg scheduled the 9th through the 11th of April. Following that, the semifinals will be 23rd through 25th of April for the first leg, and then the 30th of April through the 2nd of May for the second leg. And then, of course, the final is on June 2nd. So it's a pretty quick turnaround. This whole thing takes place over a relatively short period of time, but there will be a couple weeks off this time.
Yeah, that I think is the critical part, right? Is they get a little bit of a break. Yeah, if they can navigate the second leg, they get a couple weeks off of just MLS, and then, you know, if they do make it to the next round, This is when things really, my prediction was that if they, this is being a bit optimistic. If they make it through the next round, I believe they're going to win the whole thing. But the next round is either going to be Chivas or Club America. And they are absolutely a big, big step up from what they've played so far. Whichever one of those two teams comes through, it's going to be a big, big ask to try and, you know, try and find their way through between one of those. You know, it doesn't matter. Whichever one of those two teams it is, it's going to be a tough one.
I don't want to speak too ill of the teams we faced so far, right? Everyone in this competition got here for a reason. If you're the Revs, it's because you were in like sixth place in the standings and everybody else had already qualified. So I don't know, I'm not really in a position to talk. But certainly if the Revs are able to make it through the next round, and I am finding pieces of wood to knock on, it's a big step up in terms of the quality and talent and just the amount of money, right, that is spent on players to compete against. So it'll be a tougher ask if they make it to the next round.
Yeah, that's really what this is, right? When we talk about teams from different leagues, the quality of players, I think, the quality of players goes up because the budgets that they have to spend on players goes up as they move through it, right? I mean, that's really, for better or worse, that's really what it comes down to. A team from, Liga MX, their ability to spend money on players certainly far outweighs, the Costa Rican top division, the Canadian Premier League, the Panamanian top division, and so on and so forth. I think it'll be a good test. They'll be able to rest up a little bit. And I think if they can get through there, then they might just go on and win the whole thing. I mean
that would be great. I think it's a tough matchup against either Club America or Guadalajara or Chivas Guadalajara.
Yeah.
On the other side of or on the other part of our half of the bracket, it's I think it's Pachuca and Philadelphia, and it's I think it's just Robin Hood. Maybe I'm mispronouncing that, but it's Robin Hood and Herediano. So there's some talent on the other side or on the other part of our side of the bracket as well. So it won't be an easy ask, but I think not having to play against the likes of Miami or Monterrey or Tigres on our side of the bracket probably helps.
Avoiding Miami is probably ideal. And then you get them in the final, and the whole world is watching because they think Messi's going to lift another trophy, and then the Revs do it instead. In addition to that being great for the Revs, that would be absolutely hysterical if that did, for no other reason other than just pure humor.
Right.
That would be great.
Tommy McNamara, MVP. Yeah, I can see it already.
Wow. Tommy's got to get himself on the field first.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's see. Next one. This person has multiple flags as their... I didn't even know you could do that. Anyway, Revs Yasa. Are the New England... Here we go. Andy, this is attempt number three. Do you want to flip-flop? Are the New England Revolution better without Carlos Hill? How does this affect his legacy? There's a wrinkle here. How does this affect his legacy? But
yeah,
you want to flip flop.
So I won't flip flop, but I will say his legacy is absolutely tarnished, having this game end 4-0 and not having been a part of it. We will all certainly remember for years and years this game where Carlos didn't participate in a 4-0 win.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree. He's finished. Take that MVP award back. Jake, I'm going to get your last name wrong, which is embarrassing because we're in a group chat and I talk in that group chat 7 days a week. But Jake Catanese, is that how you say it?
I've heard Catanese, but I haven't talked to him in person, so I haven't gotten to hear from him.
Catanese sounds better to me. As
sure.
Italian American, I'm just going to assume it's Catanese. Great last name, not the best question. Are the New England Revolution good at soccer? Andy, maximum of a 5-word answer.
I think they can be.
Oh, at times. That's what I was going to say.
I don't know. I didn't count the number of words in that one. I might have gone over, but
we'll say.
Yeah, I'm like, they can be good. I mean, I think they're still learning, you know, they're still learning a system. They're still learning to kind of play the way Caleb Porter wants them to play, but the talent is there. So I don't think that was ever a huge question going into the season. So I think they can be good at soccer, and they certainly were tonight.
Yeah, I mean, so far, right? It depends on what soccer competition they're playing in. They're 3-for-3 in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and they're 0-for-2 in MLS. But yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing the depth, particularly at center back. Mensa stepped in, and you know, has at least been able to give Kessler and Farrell, you know, the night off. The depth in midfield, but you know, I am not Matt Pulsar's biggest fan. His defensive inabilities kind of popped up a little bit tonight, but he's I think he's shown some good good moments getting on the ball and moving it forward. I don't feel like he's hiding behind the first line of pressure quite as much as he did last year, so I think we're seeing, like you said, little things here and there that Pulsar is trying that Porter is trying to add in to how the team plays.
Right.
Derek Terrell, it's probably Terrell, sorry Derek. Talk about Ian Harkes. I think he should start most games next to Pulsar. Yeah. So compared to Kay and compared to Puck, absolutely 100%. If Porter is sold on Pulsar needing to be in there every single game, you know, okay, fine, fair enough. But I really like Harkes in there beside him. I thought he had a pretty solid game tonight. I think he certainly offers, you know, a bit more going forward. With his ability to pick out passes than Pulsar and Kay. You know, I think Buck's coming around. I still think Buck is a better wide player than he is centrally. But particularly tonight, there was moments where, you know, Pulsar sat a little bit deeper and Kay and Harkes were playing in front of him. So more of a 1-2 than a 2-1. And I think, you know, if Harkes can kind of play this in-between world where he's not quite a deep midfielder, but he's not quite up playing between the lines like Carlos. You know, I'm not comparing him to Xavi. I'm just saying positionally, you know, they kind of had the same idea, right? Iniesta operated high up the field, similar to Carlos. Busquets sat deep and controlled everything. And I'm certainly not comparing Pulsar to Busquets. There's a mountain and an ocean between the two of them. But just that MLS version where one sits deep, one operates high between the defensive line, the midfield line, and then you've got the in-between guy who knows when to speed things up, when to slow it down. He can pick out a forward pass. He can recycle possession. I really like Harkes, and you know, I think he's done well so far. And I hope that Porter finds his way to deciding that he's the guy that needs to be out there with Pulsar. Now, but Andy, what do we think about Harkes and then, you know, pairing him next to Pulsar?
I thought Harkes had a good game. You know, I if you're listening to this podcast, you're almost certainly and you're on Twitter, you're almost certainly following Seth the Blazing Musket. If you're not, please go follow him. He posted a couple of clips of Harkes specifically tonight, and he highlighted a few instances where Harkes was looking to kind of move the ball upfield quickly in transition. I think that's a good shout by Seth, because I think that is a good role for him in that kind of, you mentioned, like in between a central midfield spots. You know, I don't have his stats up in front of me. I could pull them up, I suppose, but
I got, yeah. I mean, look, he had 8 passes into the final third. You know, he completed 54 passes, you know, 81%. He had 2 shots. He created a chance. He had 69 touches overall. Let's see what else. You know, he's only dispossessed once. He had 4 recoveries, you know, one 5 duel, lost 4. You know, he got fouled 3 times, only gave 1 away himself. And his, you know, his overall match rating from FootMob was a 7.2. So, I mean, yeah, he had a pretty good night. I try not to hark on these things too much. But you know, I try to pay more attention during a game to players who I maybe not really as big of a fan of. So like Pulsar, Buck, Lima,
Not been terribly impressed with the three of them. But Buck, particularly on Sunday, I thought he played really, really well, or at least better than he has. Lima tonight looked like a veteran player that can step in and play. I didn't think he'd really look that good. So I thought Harkes had a solid game. And again, I am not in any way comparing these three to the greatest midfield three that the world has ever seen, but just the role and what you're asking them to do. I think those three guys can kind of work together in that way at an MLS level.
Sure. You keep talking about these players this way. Miami's going to try and take them all from us on DP deals, or I guess on Max Tam deals, right? So.
Well, they don't have any money. They seem to be finding ways to get rid of players, left, right, and center. Okay. Next one here is from Traeger. Talk about the Revs finally learning how to be productive without Carlos on the field. Yeah, I mean, we've covered this, but I think it's worth talking about again, right, Andy? I mean, this has to be a good sign for this season and seasons to come in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think we touched on it a little bit earlier. Caleb Porter's tactical style involves a little bit more, one and two touch passing. It involves switching the point of attack, right? It involves pulling players wide, trying to concentrate the game on one side, finding quick combinations, or if nothing's there, then switching the point of attack. And all of that brings more players into the fold, right? It gets more players involved. I don't have that in front of me, but I think Frioni's touches last year were, especially towards the end of the year, were dismal in terms of total number of touches. He was averaging a touch like once every 5 or 6 minutes, and he was playing relatively short amounts of time. And Caleb Porter forwards generally have higher touches per 90. So, it brings more players in, it gets more players involved. And because it's such a, possession, passing, kind of timing related tactical setup, it will help, I think, make the Revs less dependent on singularly on Carlos Hill.
Yeah, I think to see a little bit more, you're seeing patterns a little bit more. Some of the patterns I'd like to see more of, and some of them, like Polster kind of dropping off into he's dropping off in almost in like a deeper wide position, almost like in the right half space, but not. It looks like a position that I'd rather see like Farrell or Lima take up and let Polster move more centrally. But it's happening on a regular basis, so that says to me that, for whatever reason, Porter obviously, Porter knows better than I do. These things seem to be occurring for a reason, right? Like there's a reason why he wants Polster to drop out into that space. I think they've been, especially tonight, I think when he had Harkes, Kay, and Polster, the rotation, like, hey, look, if we lose the ball, whichever one of us happens to be the deepest one, okay, you're just going to sit in now in front of the two center backs. So these, a little bit, again, like a little bit of these rotations, it seems like there's more of an effort to get, whoever the three guys are in the three line, in front of the two deeper midfielders, there's more of a concerted effort to just get any one of the three of them on the ball and keep things moving. Whereas before, like we've said, it was just get to Carlos and everybody, just make runs.
Right.
So I think it's good. And I think it's going to give other guys confidence. Esmir, Nacho, Chonkalai, whoever it is, they're going to have more confidence now getting on the ball, making things, or even Jones, Jones and Lima were able to produce, chances in the final third tonight as well. So you get those guys' confidence up. Carlos is not going to have a confidence problem. He doesn't have a skill problem. So I think when he does come back in, everyone's got a little bit more, better feeling about themselves. And I think that's just going to start to open things up, a lot more for them. So it's all good, right? There's no negatives to being able to give Carlos the night off and you put four goals in the back of the net.
Right. And that point can't be overstated, right? The margins in MLS are always so thin, like confidence does not play no role, right? There is not a substantive, on-field difference really in terms of like the lineup and the skill in the lineup between a team that goes out and loses, 4-0 or 3-0 and then comes out and, plays the way that the Revs did tonight. You know, we could easily go out on Saturday and have a poor performance, but, you know, building on confidence, you know, that's a real thing. And that can compound and that can help, you know, with margins so tight, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Next one is from Teal Forever. So three questions here. Let's see. The first one is, all right, this is an easy one for me. Does Tommy Mack see action in leg two? I'm going to go with no. He does not have a role on this team. And I don't see any way that he's going to be involved. And I think for him tonight might have been a kind of a dawning realization. They're up 4-0 with 20 minutes left and your name still not being called.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, you know, head coaching changes, right? He was already kind of towards the bottom of the depth charts. I know he had dealt with some injuries, but I'm already kind of towards the bottom of Bruce's depth chart. And there was already there's a glut of available players in kind of that central midfield area. So I don't see him necessarily having a super high chance of starting. And that's not, you know, a knock on the player or the talent, but I personally would be surprised if he were out there.
Yeah, maybe he gets a run out last 20, 25 minutes if Porter thinks the tie is dead, you know, maybe him and Jack Penny you do get a run out. But even that's the other thing too. I mean, if you've got 20, 25 minutes to throw to somebody, you're going to give it to Penny you two. You're not going to give it to McNamara. All right. Teal's second question. Max seems to be making some positive strides from last year. Are you seeing the same thing? Andy, I don't know your overall opinion on Mark Anthony Kay, but contrast what you thought about him last year to, you know, what is he showing you so far this year?
So, I mean, I think the lineup tonight probably plays, you know, a small part in it, right? Because we've typically seen him kind of in a 4-2-3-1 set or next to Polster, whoever he happens to be next to. And that's, you know, people in those positions are really only noticeable if they're scoring or if they're, you know, conceding a bunch of chances. So I think it'd been more of the latter for Mark Anthony Kay, but, you know, in this game, he's playing alongside both Polster and Tarks. I think maybe that had a, you know, that played a role in the amount of freedom he was able to have. You know, I think we saw him getting into the attack a little bit more. I saw him play a couple of good line splitting balls tonight. So, you know, maybe just from a tactical standpoint, he was given a little bit more freedom to do that sort of thing. And you know, it's certainly not something that's outside of his wheelhouse. But yeah, I mean, I it's hard to say after, you know, it's a relatively short sample size from this year and honestly from last year. But you know, he almost scored in the last game and I think he had a pretty solid performance tonight. So yeah, I mean, I'm okay saying he looks better, but I'm going to need to see, you know, I'm going to need to see some more.
Yeah. I think at the very least, you know, between him, Polster and Harks, and, you know, I mean, to a certain extent, Buck, you know, there's definitely depth there, right? I don't think it's a matter of Kay comes in and it's like, oh God, oh no, not Kay. You know, so it's, I think you definitely have to be encouraged that they've been able to make use of those four players in those two positions. And, you know, there's a lot of talk early on about, you know, what combination of those four is best. But I think if, you know, if things continue, if they continue to advance in the, you know, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, we're probably going to see every combination of those four that you could see. And you know, so far it's worked out pretty well. Yeah. So I think Kay's been, he's been fine. I don't think he's blown anybody away. But he's also, again, he's not someone where you're scratching your head, when he gets involved. Teal's last question, quick one here. So great to give Hill a full game of rest. Yeah, absolutely. I think we kind of touched on that already. See if we can go through some quick ones here. Is Nick Lima a better all-around goal contributing threat than Veroni? I mean, look, you have to be on the field to score goals, and Veroni hasn't been on the field lately. But Andy, you know what? Is Lima the third striker? Is that the answer?
Well, I don't think that's necessarily it. But I think he had a pretty good game tonight. Not only did he have that goal to start things off, he did have an assist on the last goal, you know, so that's good involvement from an outside back. to the Vrioni point, like, I don't know. We haven't seen a ton of Vrioni because he's been spending most of his time serving red card or yellow card accumulation suspensions. So, I would love to see more of him when things kind of get settled down and players get a little bit more familiar with each other and with the system this year. But it's tough. It's tough to be a Vrioni fan right now, given his lack of availability lately.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, it's fine. I mean, finally, we're only four games into the season. But yeah, that has finally come to an end, right? He's eligible to play on Saturday night against Atlanta. He'll be eligible for the second leg against LDA as well. So, I think the pressure is definitely going to be on him, if it wasn't on one already, to come back and have, you know, to have some good performances. Porter said that they're, you know, with Wood being kind of spotty with his availability, Vrioni being suspended, you know, they've kind of had to manufacture a third choice striker, which I was actually really encouraged by Porter's comments after Sunday's game. You know, he talked about it. He said, look, when you get down to your third choice, anything in any position, you know, you're going to be looking around for somebody else. And I completely agree. Like, no one expected Vrioni to be suspended in two competitions. I don't think anyone expected Wood to be in such a perilous state with his knee already, considering that, you know, he played over 1,600 minutes last season. You know, so yeah, I the fact that he's available, that gets Tronkolai back in his best position. But at the same time, you know, Tronkolai looked like a striker tonight, which is good.
Yeah, he looked good. I touched on it early in the show, but he looked like a natural fit there. He was involved all over, centrally and you know, he snuck out wide a couple of times. So I think it can work. But you know, I think I'd still rather have him outside if we can get Vrioni going.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, that I think that's definitely still the best case scenario. And Bobby's knees, I mean, I just hope that he's at least able to be a 30 to 45 minute once a week player, to come in here and there. And I'm sure he's frustrated too. You know, he's only 31 years old. He's already got an injury history. So you definitely have to kind of feel for him. You know, he looked frustrated a little bit out there tonight, but I'd be frustrated too. You know, I'd be frustrated 31, basically being told, hey, you know, you've got a bum knee for the rest of your life. That's a tough one. A tough pill to swallow. All right. Let's see here. Brandon Popper. We kind of talked about this a little bit already. Will Esmer be on this team come the playoffs? Where could you see him go? I mean, the place that he would go would be somewhere in Europe. But I think they can hold on to him at least through the end of this year. And I think he's young enough where if a European club was interested in him, they would be able to do a Buchanan-type deal where they make the deal and he stays until the season's over, and then he goes over. But Andy, do you think that Esmer will still be here come playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. We kind of touched on this earlier, right? But it kind of depends on how well he plays, right? And, you know, how well he plays, it will change how he's viewed by other clubs, which will change their valuation, right? The Reds will have their own internal valuation of what number they'd be willing to let him go out. But if he continues playing well, and if he improves and he starts, you know, putting away goals in MLS regular season play, yeah, we could see some offers start to roll in. And if any of those, you know, hit whatever number the Revs have in mind, then, you know, they've shown at least in under the Bruce years, right, that they're willing to sell a player if it's what they think is best for the player and if they can make it work. So,
yeah.
I would love to see him, you know, stick out the season. I'd love to see him, you know, if he gets a move, maybe have it be a winter move. But, you know, at the end of the day, I want what's best for the player. So if he wants a move and he gets what he wants, then I think he should do it.
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate Brandon's optimism that the Reds will be participating in those playoffs. Okay, let's see if we can, we've got four more to go here. Let's see if we can click through these. Ryan, with such a good result, I need to know your thoughts on tonight's worst player and why. You know what? I try to be optimistic at times in my life. People that know me personally might disagree with that very strongly, but I am going to take a pass. I don't think anyone played poorly enough tonight to come in for any criticism. They scored four goals. They conceded none. You know, I'm happy to be happy and not bring anybody in for any undue criticism tonight. But Andy, do you want to make sure that we don't get accused of being too nice to the Revs and have a go at someone?
No, I don't think so. But I have changed my mind, and I do think that Carlos Hill is worse now.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Yeah. Tonight's worst player, Carlos Hill.
There you go.
Brandon Popper, again, your questions have been good, so we'll work you in here. How can the Revs replicate their magic so far in CCC play in their upcoming MLS match against Atlanta? I mean, look, Atlanta is a higher level of opponent than LDA and Independiente, but there's things that they're doing in the way that they attack and the way that they move the ball that, you know, I'd imagine Porter's been saying, look, like this is what we're capable of. It just hasn't happened in MLS yet, but it will happen. I think so. They've got to keep confidence in themselves and keep going and try to get a result on Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah. And getting that player buy-in for a new coach is important. So results like this are good. You know, that all helps, helps players buy into the system, and that helps the coach, you know, reinforce messages that they're trying to send home.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, 4-0 wins, look, against any opponent are, you know, it's going to help. It's going to build confidence. And you know, look, they know, right? They know people are going to be looking for a result on Saturday night against Atlanta. James Downing, can Chocolai actually fill the hole at center forward, or do we actually need to bring in a center forward? Look, I said in the offseason that this third striker crisis wasn't a crisis. And I said, look, you get down to the third choice striker position, you're talking about guys like Justin Rannix and Josie Altidore. And look, you know, no offense to them, but Josie Altidore is effectively retired and Justin Rannix is playing for a team in Europe that no one's ever heard of. So that's what you're going to get out of your third choice striker. I think Porter said that in a slightly nicer way, basically saying, look, the top two guys aren't available. Chunkalai is kind of a manufactured, you know, he's going to be the third choice guy because we don't have a third choice guy. And look, like we said earlier, he looked like a center forward. That first goal, that's a center forward's run. That's a center forward shot. That's a center forward's goal every day of the week. So, yeah, I think he can do the job until Verone gets himself sorted out. And, you know, and we find out if Bobby Wood's knees can hold up over the course of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we've talked about how good Chunkalai looked. I think he looked great in that spot. I still think, just from like a team finances perspective, if we're looking to spend, you know, TAM level money on a winger, you know, we could maybe think about spending that at center forward or anywhere else, right? I don't know that I think we need to necessarily. I think Chunkalai looked good enough that it's you know, helped assuage some of the fears that I might have had about it. But if there's money that's, you know, looking to get spent, I think that could be an option to spend on.
Yeah, and I think the time for that could be, you know, in July. Look, can you navigate things until there? And then by then, you know, Porter and what's his name? Baloney man, they'll have time to kind of sort things out. They'll see what, you know, they'll see what players become available on freeze after the European season is over. And so I think, you know, if they kind of buy their time, Porter might reach a point maybe in May or June where he goes into Kurt's office and says, okay, we've got this money, we've got this roster spot, this is what I need. Whereas now, you know, look, the strikers that are available now from an MLS team or from a European team are. They're not going to be strikers that are playing and scoring goals on a regular basis, because teams tend not to want to get rid of those type of strikers. You know, the Toronto waived a guy last week. I think he's scored like 3 goals in the last 5 years or something like that. So okay, I'm sure you can go pick him up off waivers, but I don't think you're going to get much out of him. Let's see. James Downing also said, but also we finally did it, you guys. We beat Ala Jula, and then I can't. They beat LDA. Yes. Yeah, they did in the first leg.
Yeah.
The key here, right, Andy, is that we navigate the other half.
Gotta do it all again in a week.
And will they? That's my last question for you, Andy. Will they do that?
Will they win 4-0? I don't know about that, but
no,
I think
advance. Will they advance?
Oh yes, yeah. I think they have enough to advance. I mean, 4 goals is, you know, I'm knocking on all the wood I can find, but 4 goals is pretty big. And an away goal from the Revs on the road would really kind of set things up pretty nicely.
Yeah, I think they'll
I think they'll be fine. All right, we do have one last question. Andy, if you're keyed into this whole thing, I personally am not, and to be honest, I don't particularly care. Who will score the first goal for Kale, I'll be speaking in the third person, in the goal scorers draft? I don't know what this is, and I'm not paying any attention to it. Andy, can you fill people in on who will score the first goal for Caleb?
So, yeah, if there's anyone at home who doesn't know what any of this is, but fair enough. Last year on this podcast, I came on as well as Greg, who you all know, and Caleb Pongratz, who writes over at Prost America. And we, you know, went through the whole roster and we picked players to be on our, you know, respective fantasy type teams. And we counted up all the goals that all those players scored at the end of the year. We did it again this year. We were going to do it as a podcast to, you know, to lift the curtain a little bit. We planned to, but a couple of things got in the way and we ended up opting to write it as an article. So if you're interested in reading about the picks and about who's on whose team and, you know, the reasonings behind all those picks, you can find them over at, I think it's on the Blazing Musket. It's also up at Boston Sports Station. In terms of who on Caleb's team will score first, just a quick refresher, his team is Vrioni, Barrero, Polster, Kessler, Harks, Bulma, Spalding, Peyton Miller, and Malcolm Fry. I think I still got to go Vrioni. You know, he's coming back. He seems like he's the most likely. It's Caleb's first pick, but it's been tough sledding for Vrioni so far.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Polster. Polster pops up with the odd goal, and I think he's going to pop up with one on Saturday to, you know, help Caleb out, but more importantly, help out Caleb Porter in getting his first win in MLS with the Revs. All right, Andy, I lied. Last question real quick. Rev Ball Knower, were you as nervous as I was in the first 15 minutes, impressed by how they settled in and took advantage of the opportunities, some great team goals? Yes, everyone in my household was, well, the two of us that were paying attention to the game of the four. Yes, I was a little nervous, a little skittish. It looked like they were going to be in for a pretty long night and, you know, not necessarily what didn't know what the result was going to be, but it looked like, yeah, they were going to have to, you know, kind of weather the storm coming from above and the storm coming from LDA. But yeah, look, I mean, where things went after the first 15 minutes, you couldn't ask for better. So Andy, yeah, were you also, you know, were you a little concerned, you know, first 15, 20 minutes?
I was, but I am generally always concerned, especially at the start of games. So, yeah, like I said earlier, I think Ale Valencia played pretty physical. The ref seemed pretty attuned to it. So after a certain, you know, I'd say maybe 10 or 15 minutes in, maybe he started calling fouls. And once that started happening, you know, I think that helped because, you know, Ale Valencia couldn't play quite as physical as maybe they had been planning to. And I, you know, we got that early goal from Lima, and I think things really changed from there. So that helped out.
Yeah, I think the refs' ability to keep control of the game, but yeah, that goal, yeah, great cross from Jones. You know, a bit of a taking a bit of a chance there, making that run from Lima, and you know that seemed to really kind of set things off on the night. And you know, the refs were flying from there, and you know, they're getting ready to fly down to Atlanta. Hopefully, they can you know take the 3 points there, make their way down to Costa Rica, and you know we can just keep this thing going. Yeah. All right. So Andy, any final thoughts, and where can people follow you on social media?
In terms of final thoughts, I, you know, just want to give a shout out to all the fans who traveled out to the game, in, you know, in Gillette on a rainy Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, you know, maybe left work and went straight there. You know, I've done that myself for certain games. I wasn't there in person for this one, but you know, I'm glad that they all got to see a big 4-0 win, and you know, so good on them for being committed and going out there. In terms of where you can find my work, you can check me out at Boston Sports Nation. I write typically weekly, but depending on how busy my schedule is elsewhere, it could be every other week. Articles there. It's bossportsnation.com. If you click on the Revolution banner at the top of the page, that'll bring you to all of my content. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Andy Revs Nation. Also on Blue Sky. I'm also on Threads. it's I am less active on those places, but primarily because I have fewer followers there. So if you want me to tweet if you want me to post more threads or more blue skies or whatever they're called, you know, go follow me over at those places, and I'll try and make more of an effort to spread the love on the internet message boards.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too. I was planning on going to the game tonight, and then we saw the weather and decided that we hadn't opted into the tickets. We decided not to buy them and just figured, you know what, I'm recording tonight anyway, and I used that as an excuse to stay home and stay out of the rain. So definitely, you know, props to anyone that made the trip down there, and look, definitely worth the trip. You got a 4-0 win. I'm sure you got a little wet. Hopefully you dried off by now. But yeah, absolutely. And look, as for me, I've been trying to kind of work this in. Look, Caleb Porter has, you know, on Sunday talked quite a bit about, you know, separating the performance from the result, which is anyone that has coached any sport, but particularly soccer, where the scoreboard doesn't always reflect the performance in any sort of an accurate way. I was really, really encouraged to hear his comments after the game. And I have a side project. And as most of you probably know at this point, I'm not really on social media. I go on Twitter unwillingly to read out your tweets when we do this. But anyway, I have a side project. You can find it at betterteamtracker.com. It'll be in the episode notes. And it's very similar to what Porter alluded to, where it's just a tool to kind of measure the Revs' performance with 8 different metrics to come up with a record in those areas to kind of compare to the result. So if the result doesn't go the Revs' way, it kind of tries to, okay, but look, there's all these other things that we now know that Porter at least looks at 2 out of the 8. You know, he does take into consideration shots and shots on target. I'm hoping he mentions the other 6 in press conferences in the coming months. But anyway, if that type of thing is something that, you know, he said it's, you know, it's something maybe you don't care about. But I fully believe that there are a lot of people out here that do care about separating the performance from the result. So if that is of interest to you, please check out betterteamtracker.com. Okay, so that is it for us tonight. Again, great result for the Revs, and hopefully they can see things through in the second leg next week. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Revolution Recap. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And be sure to check out our friends at The Blazing Musket as well. And so thanks again for listening to Revolution Recap, presented by Bet Online. And we will be back after this Saturday's game against Atlanta United. And we are all hoping that the Revs pick up 3 points. And that's what we'll be talking about when we join you next.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.